Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Powerful.
Yes.
Come on, we're not alone. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, look at your neighbor and tell him he's got a plan for you. Look at your other neighbor and tell him he's got a plan for you too. He's got a plan for y'all. Come on. I'm being yelled at real quick. Let me go this. Is that a little better? All right. Come on. He's got a plan for you. Come on, Jeremiah. Where's our scripture? Let's go. Let's get that sucker up there. Come on. We got some preaching to do. For I know the plans I have for you. I know the plans, son. I got plans for you, Brother Charlie. I got plans. Come on, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Yeah. Come on, God has got a plan for you. You need to hear it. I say it a lot, but you were not an accident. You were a purpose. Come on, I need somebody to hear that today. You were a purpose. You were not an accident. Come on, I'm telling you, that moment you were conceived, you were the apple of God's eye. He was like, oh, it's your time. Woo, it's your time, Brother Tony. It's your time, Brother North. I love it. I preach that because it's so true and you need to hear it, Bob. Right now, God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Woo, it gets me excited. Y'all can't tell I'm excited, can y'all? He has got a plan for you and me both. Amen. I love it. I love it. I need you to hear that real quick again because you're not an accident. I found out later in life that I really wasn't a planned child. But God had me planned. God had me planned. Come on.
Amen.
He knew what was going on. He was like, come on, Brandon, it's your time. Let's go. Hallelujah. Gets me excited. Hey, we have been hearing some amazing testimonies, and I'm going to touch on a couple of those, but I want to invite Cher up. She came to me. She said, Brandon, I got a testimony that I have got to share, and I'm like, let's go. So come on, Cher. Come up here and share this with us. Sheridan. I want you to share this with us. Come on. Tell us what God's done for you.
All right. I'm going to try to keep this kind of short so it's not super long. A couple weeks ago, I went and saw The Fourth, which is a Kendrick Brothers movie. I don't know if y'all heard about it. I definitely recommend it. It spoke numbers to. It opened my eyes.
There you go.
It opened my eyes.
Amen.
100%, and it made me realize that I have a testimony. So last year in December, I unfortunately totaled my car, and right before, so the plan was I was going to see a friend, and I was about to leave my house, and something was telling me, God was telling me to pray before I leave, to watch over me and make sure I'm safe, and so I did. And unfortunately, I had wrecked my car, but from the pictures, I should not have made it out alive. And that's how I know God was watching over me.
Amen.
And so I have the pictures if y'all want to see them afterwards. But it just like really opened my eyes and showed that God is watching over me and he wants me here for a reason.
Amen. Amen. So, that's good. It. That's good. Amen. Amen. Yeah, you are definitely here for a reason, Sharon. Definitely God has an incredible plan on your life,
yes.
And you're
yes.
A walking testimony. Even and that's what I was even sharing with you earlier, is that there's so much more to your testimony that God is in the works right now. And you just keep an eye out on what God's going to continue to do in your life. Exciting stuff. Well, Faye, where are you at? Miss Faye, come on down here. She is going to be going to Peru with us. Yeah, come on, Peru team. Exciting. She's got a very powerful testimony, and I want you guys to just listen up to this, and it's incredible.
Southern Baptist.
this is not going to be as short as Sheridan's. All right, I'll open up with, I'm just going to go ahead and say, I don't know if you guys even need me to say this or speak through the mic. Let me know if I'm too loud. All right, I just wanted to say, I'm going to open this up with Romans 8, 38 through 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, not height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I was born the first granddaughter, and this is why I'm saying I'm not going to be short, of the senior ranking deacon at a Southern Baptist church in Corpus Christi, Texas. He was my guiding light. My grandfather, John Eldon Thomas, which is where John Dallas got part of his name from, and my grandmother were everything that I needed when I was young. Unfortunately, when I was 8 years old, that light kind of went away whenever he was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. And back then in the early 80s, it wasn't a sentence that, for the most part, was survivable. He passed when I was 9 years old, and he had been the anchor for my family. So my grandmother, who had been his right hand, and my mother, who, being a deacon's daughter, kind of never really was close to the faith, both fell away, which meant that there wasn't a whole lot of guidance. And with ebbs and flows of time, my family was splintered. My grandmother eventually went back and started going into church again and believed that it was critical for us to be taught the right ways. My mother, on the other hand, was not in that same frame of mind and did everything she could to take us from that. I got to the point where my mother was not in my life, and I more or less became an adult way before my time. I ended up being with a boy, and this boyfriend and I obviously did very adult things, and after I graduated from high school, I completely severed all ties with my mother and stepfather and a lot of my family at the age of 17. I started college that fall and spent more time living with the boyfriend than I did going to college. Whenever the spring rolled around, I was past the point of lost. I'll go ahead and say it. I did not pray. I didn't do anything that should have been done. I did not want to hear about God. I was very angry. So I decided that I was going to completely get away from all of it and just join the military. I went to a recruiter. The recruiter took me in to a place called MEPS. We did everything, and I was flying colors. I could have done any career I wanted. I could have done whatever needed to be done. And unfortunately, the very last test is a pregnancy test. I was not married. I had not even finished one full semester of school. I was not in a job. And when I found out, me and my recruiter had a conversation where I was not allowed to come back until I took care of the problem, which was his work. It had to be taken care of for me to have a life, his words. So the boyfriend that I was staying with showed up. I told him what was going on. I handed over the card and was numb. I didn't feel anything but the anger and the disappointment that my life had ended. My boyfriend's word. So he called and scheduled an appointment in Houston to that abortion clinic that my recruiter had given the number for. It was a Thursday whenever this MEPS had happened, the appointments. It was a Monday that my boyfriend scheduled for because he wanted to have the problem taken care of and be done. That night when I got home was the first time that I had prayed in a long time. I was still angry. I still didn't know why things were happening the way they were. Monday morning rolled around. We got up. We drove the 4 hours down to Houston because he lived out in Grapeland. That's where we were staying. We got down there. Traffic was backed up. We couldn't get to the actual appointment on time, but they still took me in. And they did test to find out what or how far along I was. I was 4.5 months along. I didn't have any opportunity to think about it because until I had been told on that Thursday prior, I didn't know I was pregnant. My body didn't do the normal things that happens when you get pregnant. So they did the ultrasound, and then they checked in their logs, and they figured out that the boyfriend had called the wrong facility. I was supposed to actually be at 14:30 in the afternoon in Dallas, Texas, and not Houston, Texas, so they didn't have the opportunity, and they didn't have a spot open for me at the clinic in Houston. So they sent me away. He was very angry, obviously, cussing, yelling, saying that I had ruined his life, that it was my fault, that I needed to just go ahead and go through with it. He called to the hospital clinic in Dallas and scheduled the appointment. It was for the following Wednesday because the one that was in Dallas, when we showed up, it was a 2-hour drive from Grapeland or from Waco, because at that point I'd called my grandmother, and that was the first time I'd talked to my grandmother since I'd graduated from high school, so over a year. And immediately, she took me in. He took me there, dropped me off, didn't make any phone contact at all until that Monday morning when he showed up and took me up to the Dallas clinic. Apparently, when we got to the Dallas clinic, and about an hour before my appointment time was supposed to have been, all the alarms in the entire facility went off. Everybody was standing outside in the parking lot, and the alarms could not be reset. They could not figure out why the entire facility would not reset. And they sent me home. But before they sent me home, they figured out, because they had to actually check my time and term and everything else, I was finally into the third trimester at this point. So, by their logs, I had to do a different procedure that could not be done in Dallas. The only place that could do that procedure legally at that time in the state of Texas was down in Houston and over in El Paso. And El Paso was not going to have an opening for at least a month. Houston was the only place that could do that procedure. And it was an overnight, 2-day procedure because it was that far along with my pregnancy. This whole time, I had been praying that something would stop it, that I would not go through with it. I would tell him when we would get in the car, and it was cussing sessions and yelling sessions, and it's my fault sessions, and pretty much trying to force me to go against what I had known all along with I did not believe in abortion then, and I'll stand here today and tell you I believe the exact same thing. There is no reason, no excuse in 2024 to get an abortion, period. So that morning, because my husband, or he ended up being the husband, unfortunately, but at that time, the boyfriend ended up calling right away and scheduling for the appointment down in Houston. When I woke up that morning and I walked outside, because he honked the horn, he didn't even walk to the door to get me. He didn't call on the phone, because obviously back then cell phones weren't really a thing. He honked the horn, and as I walk out the door, and I'd been praying all night before, I didn't sleep because I didn't want to go through with it. He honks the horn, and I walk out the door with my overnight bag, because it's a two-day procedure down in Houston. And I hear very loud voices standing out in the driveway. Turns out, my grandmother and my aunt and my cousin, all individually in their own right, had all made peace with the past and were living with God in the present, and were told, they individually told me later, they were told that they could not go to work that day. They had to be there for me. They didn't know exactly what was going on, but they knew that they had to be there and make sure that I stayed at my grandmother's and did not go with my boyfriend. So there is a loud verbal altercation to the point where my grandmother is begging me, please don't go. And my aunt and my cousin are a little bit more fiery in their spirit and were threatening to call the cops and have him trespassed and arrested, because at that point, even though I was an adult, they still believed that I needed to be guided, which 100% was right in this case. Long story short, I managed to get the strength. This calm came over me, and I told him to go away. I told him to leave and don't come back. I don't need him. I have my grandmother and my aunt and my cousin, and they will help me, and everything that he was saying to me was a lie. He left. I didn't hear from him for months. But that day I knew, no matter what I had done, how much I was angry, how much I did not want him in my life, he was there, and he was watching over me, and he wouldn't leave me. Today, my baby boy, he literally was my guiding light when he was born and when he was growing up. He kept me grounded. He was my greatest gift from God. And I'm thankful every day for those praying grandmas and aunts and moms. Thank God.
Amen. Come on. Yeah. Come on. I told y'all it's powerful. Oh my gosh. We're crying like a baby. Three times. Wow. For I know the plans I have for you. For I know the plans I have for you. God shifts and he moves. Even when we're not asking, he just does things. He moves. He's got a big old plan. He's got a perfect plan for our lives. Put our title up there. Hallelujah. His perfect plan. Hallelujah. God hasn't changed. Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He shifts and he moves things around in our lives when we don't even know. He allows things. This is going to rock some religious folks. He allows things to happen to us. And some of those things that he allows are hard things to deal with. They're hard things to face. But he allows it because he wants to shift you and shape you and mold you, because he's got a plan for you. He knows what he has for you down the road. So he puts you in situations here. Come on. Amen. To walk you through. If you don't believe me, read your Bible. God does allow things to happen to people that aren't always nice and pleasant. Job. Just read Job. But it's not, he didn't just allow that to happen. He suggested it. Read your Bible. He says, he's talking to Satan. God's talking to Satan and says, have you, I know you're over here doing this, messing things around in the world. Have you considered my prophet, my son Job, my servant Job? He allows things and circumstances in our lives for a reason. He's got a plan. He shapes us. He molds us. See, each one of us in our lives, we have stories. We've got some stories. And it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, you've got stories. I know, Cher, you have some stories. Andrew, you've got some stories. Michelle, you've got some stories. You've been through some stuff. Dominic, you went, yeah, I used your real name. This is just in front of everybody right now. That's all reason. but you've got some things that you've had to walk through in your life. Destiny, you've got a story. Stories. You've been through some stuff. Dad, you've been through some stuff. Brother North, you've gone through some stuff. Tony, we've all gone through some incredible things in our lives. And a lot of these stories, and these big stories in our lives, they bring something in our lives. They bring a healthy conviction because we know what not to do. It helps steers us. It helps steer our lives because we see the mistakes and we know we're not going to make those. We don't want to do those things again. So we're going to, this is when we know what God's done here, we want to do right. So there's a conviction that is brought from those stories and those experiences. But you know what else the enemy does with those past things in our lives? He loves to bring condemnation. See, each one of our stories, we all have stories, but the enemy absolutely loves to bring condemnation. So those two things happen with these past stories in our lives, in our testimonies, in our circumstances that we've all gone through. Conviction and condemnation. See, conviction steers. Conviction steers the ship. Condemnation sinks the ship. And so at any given moment, the enemy loves to try to condemn us from our past. And so what happens when we have those thoughts about the past and we start feeling a little, having a little shame and condemnation, then we start thinking of the woulda, coulda, shouldas. If I could... Man, I wish. I want to break that lie today. See, also the enemy, because of our past failures and past experiences and storms we've gone through, we think the another lie the enemy loves to tell us, you've missed it. You've missed it. You've spent a lot of time. You've missed it. It's a lie. God has plans for us, and he moves and shifts. I'm here to tell you this. God is bigger than you are. Someone needs to hear that God's bigger than you are. If you don't understand what the word says, he says, I got a plan for you. Don't you think he knows the things that you've gone through? Don't you think he knows the temptations that Satan has been coming around with you and that you even failed at in certain places in life? He knows. Faye wasn't on fire for God when she was going through that. But look what God did. It wasn't, Brother North, she went to one clinic. And what was the first one? It was the wrong clinic. Then she goes to another clinic. And the alarm has just been turned on. And then they find out that she's too far. Kevin, come on. Y'all, they were practicing. The worst, their team was practicing yesterday, and all I heard was, he gets into it. Over and over, God shifted because he's got a plan. Don't you think he knows the things that you've gone through too? Don't you think he's been with you through the failures, through the storms. He's been in the boat with you. His word says that she read, I will never leave you. Come on. I'm always there. God has been shaping our lives from day one. But a lot of times when we go through, when we start looking back and even situations in our lives, man, we... Just to be honest, that's what we have these thoughts of, man, I wish I could have, I would have, man. Your plans don't look like God's plans. See, if I were to plan it, I wouldn't have gone through any of the stuff I've gone through. See, if I was going to plan it, I wouldn't have messed up like I would have messed up. If I could go back, right? Everybody's the same situation. The thing is this, here's what the word says, Isaiah 55:8. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways. God's bigger than you. He's bigger than me. And his ways aren't our ways. I don't personally care going through storms. But his way is much better than my way. Amen. Man. God didn't call us. Let me read this one too. I'm trying to get through my notes. I want to make sure I stay on point. Romans 8:1 says, Therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. See, we all have stories. The enemy loves to break those things down. He loves to, you remember, even when trying to pull these testimonies out and trying to work your testimonies, all of our Peru people. Oh, it got emotional. Because you start having to process, and those are hard times and hard seasons in our life. Right? And then you go back, but the Word of God tells us this. He says, first off, my plans aren't your plans. My thoughts aren't your thoughts. Come on. And he says, now listen, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I want to talk about a couple of things. I want to go through a few testimonies. I want to just stay with me. I'm going somewhere with this. I think about Brother North, and I love y'all's testimonies that you've shared about when you were in construction, financially, barely making it. I love the stories where he would open his lunch and he said, I'll just have a sandwich. And I was so thankful for that thing. And it was just this, just the finances were so tight and so in that season. He said, but God kept our marriage and kept us focused on him. I love that. I love how God moved and shifted in their lives. I loved how he went from this kind of construction, this kind of construction, then he was driving a truck, and then all of a sudden something happened to him that rocked his world. Most of you know the story. He was in a car wreck, accident. I believe 100% God allowed that. Because what happened, he lost his leg. But oh, did God show up and show out. That wasn't an easy season for him. Nor Miss North. Or the kid, all of them. It was a hard season. But look what God did. God shaped him and molded him and moved him into another career path. God blessed and blessed and blessed, and he moved up, and he was able to retire from that position. Miss North, you got in there, jumped in, and served. God's blessing you guys. And through those seasons, yeah, there's failures along the way. There's been some things, okay? I don't even know any of those details. I just know the surface stuff that from the basic, you know, things that I see. But I know there's always stuff behind scenes, right? I get it. We all have those. And so along these failures, look what God has done for you two. God blessed you with two incredible children, two incredible boys, okay? Not only did he bless you with the two amazing boys, now you've got two amazing wives, daughter-in-laws. Not only do you have two amazing daughter-in-laws, you have an amazing group of grandchildren. And God is using you guys and orchestrating so many beautiful things in y'all's lives right now. And he's been doing that. There's so much fruit from y'all's lives. God's using you for, and I know you hate anybody tooting your horn or anything like that, but I'm telling you, God used you from day one, and you've gone through these circumstances to build you up into what God's doing now. And even through the seasons, to birth amazing things in your son and your grandkids. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You've gone through these storms, and you are here today. You are who you are because of the things you've gone through. God shifted and shaped it. Brother Tony, you're the same exact way. You went through the fire. When you went in your wreck, you were crying out to God, I need more time in your word. And God's like, I get you more time now. As you're sitting there with a brake pedal sticking out your leg. I'm telling you, God did amazing things. He shifted and he allowed something to happen. Yeah, it was catastrophic and it was hard. But look what God's been doing in your life. God's turned everything around for his glory. And today you're impacting lives everywhere you go.
Amen.
It doesn't matter. You don't care about everybody's opinion. You're just going to speak. And it doesn't matter what people think about it. I see it and I love it. And I see so much growth in you, so much impact in our community with people at work. I love hearing the testimonies. No, we're not perfect. But bless God, God's done this back here for us, and that's the reason why we can serve him and do more right now. We're seeing fruit. I love the story. I love seeing what God has done in your life, Dad. And the testimony that you have, the testimonies. Another thing, you've been faithfully serving here in New Life. Helping Dad through this entire time when everybody was pushing around. You were there. Dad, you've been rejected. You've been told to your face over and over again that this church will never be. It's never going to go. I've been told that. Look where we're at. We're going to keep on running the race that God set before us. But it's because those hard times and those seasons and the fire that we've gone through is the reason why you're able to stand and push through. Amen. I had my experience with God, and I've shared this testimony before, but I'm going to continue to share it. I experienced God in the most beautiful, amazing way. It's something that I will never in my life forget. Was sitting on that bathroom floor with a razor in my hand, trying to end it all. And I saw the blood and I cried out to God. And I promise you, I never felt it this way before in my life. And I don't think I felt it since. It's just been growing. But I'm telling you, it's his arms wrapped around me like never before. I got to experience the love like I had never experienced before when I went through that tragic emotional moment. Brother North, you experienced God in another entire level when you went through that storm. Tony, God, you experienced God in a whole nother level when you went through that storm. Church, I'm telling you, when we go through things, man, I'm telling you, even in our failures, I love the story. I love Tara. I love your testimony. How as a young lady, you're expressing, I was messing up. I had failed. I messed up. And I felt so much, there was a conviction, and I had to cry. She had to cry out to God. In that moment when she began to cry out and turn from those things and pursue God, I promise you, she experienced God's grace more than she ever had in her life. I love Galen's story. I love his testimony. See, Galen began to pursue the world as a musician, and he went to Florida, kind of moving away from everything against his parents' advice. He was going to travel the world. He wanted to experience this. And so he went out there, and he found himself absolute destitute, no money, broke, hungry. And guess who he had to call? He had to call mom and dad. Now, here's the story that's so beautiful. Is that, and I want to encourage you, go back and listen to their testimonies. It's on our website. They spoke a few Wednesday nights ago. I'm not doing it justice. You need to hear it from them. But here's what God did for him. He said, it wasn't, when I called my parents, it wasn't three or four rings. It was like I dialed the number and they were answering. And he said, when I look back and I see that, that's exactly what God does for us. It doesn't matter where we're at. The moment we pick up the phone and call on his name, he's there. So with that experience and that hard time, Galen experienced God in an amazing way. God taught him something incredible. Hallelujah. My wife, she shared a testimony about having two miscarriages and how distraught and how emotional she was. And how nobody else could really comfort her. She was trying to, our church body would try to help and encourage. My mom would try to help and encourage. But it wasn't doing anything. It wasn't until she went to God and said, God, I need this void filled. I need you, God. And that is when she experienced God in a whole nother level. She experienced God in such an intimate way that nobody else could do. Amen. She experienced God. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you today, listen, I need you to hear this. Even though you have failed in your life, those experiences that when you've messed up, guess what happened? You got to experience the grace of God like never before. Stop looking back in regret. Start saying, God, thank you that I was able to experience you. I was able to experience you, God. I was able to feel your grace like nobody's business. Now I want to talk to you about God's this big picture for a moment. Our big picture in life, we see these things I wish I were over here in this. I wish I was a little further along. I've heard that. I wish I was here. I wish I was, man, I wish I would, I would. We're in the Word of God. I wish I knew. And that's good to have that desire to know God's Word a little bit more. But I want to talk to you about where God wants you to be at right now. And how God brought you from all these experiences to where you're at today. I want to read 1 Thessalonians 5. I want to read 16, 17, and 18. Look at this real quick. Rejoice always. Go to 17. Pray without ceasing. In everything. In everything, give thanks. It does not, I need you to hear this. Nowhere in the Word of God does it say to go back and be in that woulda, coulda, shoulda state. It says, this is the will of God for your life. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And give in everything, give thanks. I promise you. The enemy wants to lie to you and tell you, you just messed up this, you've done this, you've done. Turn that around. God, I thank you that I got to experience grace like I never got to experience grace before in my life. I got to experience that love of God, how he wrapped around me, how he never left me. Faye's story, she's got such a powerful, powerful testimony. How God shifted and shaped and how God never left her. Thank God for praying grandmas and aunts. Pray without ceasing. Church, I want to go to new levels in my faith. I know you have the same desire. Stop looking back at those past things and past circumstances as failures. Look at them as, God, thank you for those opportunities to reveal that your grace in new ways. God, thank you for those opportunities to teach me and show me how to speak better, how to do better. Father, thank you for that storm. In their storms, we don't even understand why we went through them, Brother North, but God does. So I don't understand the storm sometimes, but God, I trust you. I'm going to do what your Bible tells me to do. I'm going to be in your will. That is to rejoice always, to give thanks in everything. I'm hoping I'm kicking the teeth into this live that woulda, coulda, shoulda today. God has a plan for you in your life. Stop looking back and saying, oh, I did, oh, I wish. And start thanking God. Because you are here today. And the experience you've done is who you are today. You're able to have an incredible testimony. You can share with people, man, I experienced God in such an amazing way. I hope you're hearing me today. God has a plan for you and your life. And even though we go through storms and we mess up, we all do. Look at those experiences. Instead of looking at them, man, I wish. Start looking at them saying, God, I rejoice in you. Thank you. I don't really fully understand why, but I trust you. But I trust you. It says, in everything, give thanks. That's what the Bible tells us. Amen. Amen. God has a plan for each and every one of you. Nowhere in the Word of God. Galen, come on up. Nowhere in the Word of God does it tell us to go back and look at those woulda, coulda, shouldas. But it says, in everything give thanks. Pray without ceasing. Rejoice always. Yeah. My prayer is with this whole message is we've heard these testimonies and we're digging into our circumstances in our past. And it's a good thing, but you need to have your testimony ready. In season and out of season, you need to be able to be ready to share what God's done for you in your life, always. But when we start processing some of these things, it kind of gets a little heavy. And this is what really stirred my spirit about this message today, is that we can't live in condemnation. Because the condemnation sinks the ship. Conviction guides us. And through our past experiences, there's conviction that God gives us. Through his word, there's conviction. Let that conviction be your guide. And any time the enemy wants to come back at you, say, Brother Charlie, you just messed up. go back to the scripture. Rejoice. Pray without ceasing. And everything, give thanks. Because that's the will of God for your life. You guys, you want to share something? I'm wrapping up. Go ahead, brother.
Not trying to.
No, you're good. I'm wrapping up.
Entering on your message here. It's a wonderful message. I thought about the situation that happened to me and Galen not too long ago, and I've shared it before. But, you know, I drive for Lyft and Uber, and Galen was working for a construction company. And one day, I'd had a ride that I took to Dallas, downtown Dallas. I mean, Commerce Street in Dallas. Busy, busy, busy. Pulled up there, dropped a person off at a hotel, I think it was. And then I got a deal that I had another ride that I just had to go up a couple of blocks and turn left and pick up someone else for another ride. I dropped off this first person, started up the street, looked out there on the side, and there's Galen standing there beside his truck out on the street. He'd taken some stuff to the guys working on a job they were doing. It's like, and I don't believe in coincidences. And, you know, later I was actually praying about a message that I was to preach, and that came to my mind. I said, God, I don't believe in that anything just happens in coincidence. I said, what was the significance about me and him just right there in the same place in Dallas, which is highly unlikely, because he wasn't there but a few minutes, and I was there for just stop and drop somebody off. And then I pulled up beside him, and I said, I rolled down the window. I said, you ought to go to work. Anyway, he laughed and he looked around like, what in the world are you doing here? Anyway, but I asked God, I said, Lord, what is the significance of that taking place? And he spoke to me just as plain as someone else speaking to me. He said, I wanted to show you that I can have you where I want you at any given time. And that goes along with what Brother Brandon preached, because God directs our lives.
Yeah.
Out of all the billions of people on this earth, He directs our lives, every one of us.
Amen.
Every one of us. And it doesn't matter what you're going through. Yeah. It don't matter where you are. Just like my situation of having the accident and losing my leg. He didn't cause it, but I looked back at all that situation, and then he directed everything up to the accident. He directed everything after the accident. Had a wonderful job, like he said. I mean, God puts us where he wants us, when he wants us. I mean, pinpointed to the exact. He wanted me right here today, right now. He wanted you right here, right now. I'll shut up.
Oh, that's it? Brother was about to take up an offering. Let's all stand to our feet today. Without a doubt, God puts us in places, and again, those places sometimes aren't the funnest. But rejoice. Rejoice. Because you're going to get through whatever circumstances you're in. You're going to walk through it. But walk through it rejoicing. Because I promise you, God's got amazing things in store for each and every one of you. He's got amazing plans. He's got amazing plans for each one. And again, just like it was saying, He puts us in amazing spots, just where He wants us. Thank Him. Rejoice always. And in everything, give thanks. In everything. Because that's the will of God. Father, we are so grateful for you. God, I thank you for the plans that you have. I thank you for bringing life. I thank you for dying on the cross for us, so we can experience your grace. So we can experience your love. Thank you for sending your son to die on the cross for our sins, so we can be made whole. God, I thank you for just for giving us this free gift. And all we got to do is call on your name and invite you in. It's just like Galen picking up the phone. God, I need you. Lord, I thank you for that. Thank you for being right there for each and every one of us. In the hardest moments of our lives, you're there. I thank you for it, Lord. If you've never given your life to Christ today and you want to give it to Him wholeheartedly, man, today's the day to do it. If you're watching online, you've never given your life to Christ, and today's the day to do it. All you've got to do is invite Him in. It's not complicated. It's not a whole bunch of things you got to go through. It's not a whole bunch of hoops we've got to go through. You don't have to give a certain amount in the offering. Ask the man on the cross. He just acknowledged Jesus. Yeah. You're the Messiah. I don't deserve this. I deserve this, but you don't. It's not complicated. It's just inviting Him in. Say, be my Lord and Savior. He'll come in like a flood. You can experience grace like you've never experienced in your life. Father, right now, want to invite you in again to our lives. Come on, if you've ever prayed this prayer, I just want you to invite Him in. Lord, I invite you in. Invite you into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Come on, amen. Invite Him in and just talk to Him. Lord, I thank you so much for your grace and your mercies, Lord, that are new every day. I thank you for the plans that you have for all of us, Lord. I thank you for the storms that you put me in and helped me and molded me and shaped me into the man I am today. They weren't easy, God, but I know you were there. I thank you for the experiences that I've had to go through, that you've had to walk me through to become the man I am today, Father. I'm so grateful for you. God, you've never left us. You've never forsaken us, God. And I thank you for what you have for each and every one of us in this room. Everybody's watching online. I thank you for the plans that you have for us, God. And I pray we'll just continue to run in it, Lord, and trust you and rejoice always. In Jesus' name, amen. God's doing some amazing things here at New Life Ministries. I want to encourage you, jump in.